Well, friends, this is it. Today is the end of a season here at SABC. For 26 years, we have had Sunday morning worship service here in Sakai City. And for the last 6 years, we've been here in this building, in the Shin Nikken building. And I don't, right, maybe Noji's been here longer than anyone else, so he kind of knows more than the rest of us. But friends, this has been a good season for us. I think this has been a very fruitful season for us here at SIBC. I think as a church, SIBC has impacted and touched hundreds and hundreds of people's lives. You know, this week as I was looking through the church records and kind of packing up all the stuff in the office, I discovered that in the last 26 years, we've had 54 people baptized at SIBC. So that's pretty good considering we're kind of a small church, right? And just in the last 6 years that we've been in this building, we have had over 500 different people attend our Sunday morning worship service. Now, a lot of those people are just foreigners who are kind of just passing through and they just come once or twice and then they leave. But friends, that's a lot of people for a small church like SIBC. And so I think as we look back, I think we have a lot to be thankful for. We're thankful to God just for His faithfulness to us over these years. We're thankful to just all the brothers and sisters who have served at SIBC over the years, and although we've never met most of them, right? Their service and their sacrifice has made SIBC what it is today. And so really today we want to give thanks and praise to God. And actually after the message, we're actually going to take some time to get into small groups and we're going to pray together. And one of the things we want to do is we want to take time to give thanks to God for all He's done for the last 26 years, but also these last 6 years here in this building. But actually today, I don't really want to take time to look back to the past. This morning, I really want to look ahead to the future. Because now after 26 years, we now sense that God is leading the church in a new and different direction. And from next week, right, we are going to be gathering together, not in this place and not in a room like this, but in a home. But not only will the location change, but how we gather together is going to change. How we gather together on Sunday morning is going to be quite different from what we've been doing these last 26 years. And rather than have the traditional style worship service, and even as I say those words, it's kind of funny because I've never thought we were very traditional. But in some ways, the way we do church here is the way many churches do it, right? There's worship and there's teaching, and kind of the way we do it is the same. It's very traditional in that way. But all of that's about to change, right? As we feel that the Lord is leading us to embrace a more simple style of church, right? As we've been studying the Bible together during this Rethinking Church series, God's really been changing our understanding of what it means to be the body of Christ, of what it means to be the family of God. And if you're interested, the messages are still on the SIBC homepage. You can go and listen to those, and they're only in English, but if you understand English, I encourage you to do that. But friends, we are about to start a new journey. And I want us to be really clear about that. When we begin meeting in Izumi Otsu next week, that's not the destination. That's not the final point. That's the starting point. Right, I think this is just the beginning of this wonderful journey that God has been preparing for us. And so today I want us to consider some of the things that we might need to bring with us as we begin this journey with God. You see, anytime you go on a journey or on a trip, there are certain things you need to bring in order to fully enjoy your time, right? How many of you have ever been to Hawaii? Have you ever been to Hawaii? All right. Imagine going to Hawaii and forgetting your camera or forgetting your swimsuit. I mean, how do you enjoy Hawaii without a swimsuit, right? Well, friends, when I was in high school, I went camping with some friends of mine, actually with my friend's family, and we were planning to stay, we were camping at the beach, and we were planning to stay 2 nights, but unfortunately, my friend's father forgot to bring his insulin. Right? He's diabetic, and he needed to have his insulin, so as we were driving to the coast, we realized, oh, he forgot it, and what shall we do? And we decided to go, but after the first night, we realized we need to go home. So early in the morning, we packed up and we headed home because we had forgotten something very important. Friends, when we go on a journey, right, there are certain things that we have to bring. And I think the same is true for us, friends. As we, you know, one of the great things about gathering in a home next Sunday is that I think our gatherings are going to be much more intimate, right? There's going to be a lot more opportunity for us to build relationship with one another as we have a chance to talk and share and discuss with one another, right? We're going to be studying together and worshiping together and praying together and growing together and seeking Jesus together. And as we read the Bible, we're going to teach one another and encourage one another and build one another up and serve one another and pray for one another and carry one another's burdens. And so as we look ahead to going to Izumi Otsu, I think the way we do church will be much more relational. And I think that's a very good thing. I think that's the example we see of the early church in the book of Acts. And yet for many of us, that's going to be a very new way of doing church. Right? And because it's new and because maybe we've never done that before, I think there are going to be various challenges along the way. We're going to have to learn some new things and we're going to have to make some adjustments as we go. And we might make some mistakes and kind of take a while to kind of get used to it. But friends, if we really want this journey to be a blessing and a time of spiritual growth, there are certain things we need to bring with us on this journey. There are certain things we need to pack in our spiritual suitcase, if you will. And so today, as we look ahead to this journey that God has been preparing for us, I want to talk about packing for the journey. Or specifically, I want to share with you, I think, six things that we need to bring with us as we transition to a more simple style relational church at Noji's home in Izumi Otsu. Friends, and I believe if we can pack these six things in our spiritual suitcase, then it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful journey. All right. So if you have your yellow outline, you can fill these in as we go along, because after the message, we're actually going to take time to pray. Like I mentioned, we also want to be praying for these six things. So if you write them down, it'll be easier for you to pray for these things together. Okay, you ready for the six things that we need to pack on our journey? Okay, the first one is this. The first thing we want to pack is faith. Faith. Friends, and I'll tell you why faith is so important. You see, we believe that Jesus Christ is the one who is leading us to begin gathering in a home. Right? Jesus is the one who is leading us to embrace this more simple style of doing church. Right? This isn't our idea. This wasn't necessarily our plan. We were open to doing whatever. We didn't choose to go in this direction. Jesus is the one who chose this direction for us. He is the one who was leading us into this new and different way of being the body of Christ. And so, friends, as we move forward, we want to put our faith in Jesus. We want to have faith that this is His plan and His purpose and His will for SIBC. Because when we have that kind of faith, honestly, it'll help us, right? To persevere? No, it sounds too strong. It'll help us to get through maybe the difficult times, the bumpy times. You see, as we begin this journey together, there will be some bumps along the road, right? There'll be things we have to learn, and things might always be as comfortable and easy as maybe they are right now. And we might even begin to miss the old way of doing church, and we might even be tempted to go back and kind of do things the old way because it's comfortable and it's easy. And yet during times like that, we need faith that this journey we're on is actually Jesus' journey for us. Please take a look at what Jesus says. John chapter 14. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Friends, Jesus says we don't have to be anxious. Right? Even if things are uncertain, even if we're kind of wondering, how is this all going to work out? And do I like this? And what's this all about? Jesus says we can trust in Him. And so, friends, as we go on this journey, we want to pack faith in our suitcase, right? We need to trust in Jesus. We need to trust that Jesus is indeed building His church here at SIBC, just like He said He was, right? Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, "I will build my church." So friends, we need to trust that Jesus is our good shepherd, and therefore His journey for us is a good journey. His plan for us is a good plan. And so as we're packing for our journey, we need to bring faith. When we have faith that Jesus is the one who is leading and guiding us, friends, we can have confidence to press on no matter what might come our way. Does that make sense? We need to have faith. But there's another thing we need to bring on our journey. And the second one is this. Love. Love. Specifically, we need love for one another. Take a look here at 1 Peter 4:8. Peter writes this, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." Peter says, above all, right? More than anything else. There's a lot of important things when you gather together as a church family, but Peter says, above all those, we are to love one another. In fact, we're told to love each other deeply. Friends, this is God's heart for the church. Right? God wants us not so much to be a people who gather together to worship or gather together to study the Bible. Those things are good, but really He wants us to gather together and be committed to loving one another. Now, I'll be honest with you. I fully understand that this is really a huge weakness of mine. I mean, this is something that I struggle with, just loving other people. I mean, I'm really self-centered. Really, it's all about me most of the time. So I really realize I need to grow in this area. Right, so I think personally, in my own personal journey, these next weeks and months, this is a lesson that I really need to learn. I need to learn how to love others deeply. Right, but actually, this is a part of God's journey for all of us. Right, we all want to grow in love for one another. Now, I'll tell you why this is so important. Friends, as Christians, we're sometimes afraid to let other people see the real us, aren't we? Right? We don't want people to see our sin. We don't want people to see our weaknesses, our failures, because we're afraid that if people see those things, they might reject us. And so what do we do? Often when we gather together as Christians, we kind of put on that smiley mask, that Christian mask, right? We just pretend like life is great, everything's okay, I'm great, you're great, we're all great. And yet, when we begin to have this genuine love, this deep love for one another, do you know what happens? Gradually, we feel comfortable enough to take our masks off. Right? But when there's genuine love, we actually begin to feel safe. Safe to show our weaknesses to others. Safe to let people see our sin and to see our fear and to see our pain and to see our struggles and to see our brokenness. Because we know that when there's genuine love, when we're loving each other deeply, even when people see that stuff in us, we're not going to be rejected. And we're not going to be criticized. And we're not going to be condemned. So friends, as we look ahead to being a more intimate, relational way of being at the church, the family of God, I think it's important that we be real with one another. If we're gathering together and we all have our masks on, it's just, you know, we might have good worship, we might have good Bible study, but it's really not going to be a time of real meaningful connection with one another. It's not going to be a real time of fruitful growth. And friends, I don't know about you, but I don't want to pretend each week. I don't want to feel like I have to put on my mask on Sunday morning when we gather together. I don't have the energy to be fake or to be religious. I want to be real. I want to be able to be me. And I want our times together to be real and meaningful and fruitful. And so as we're packing our bags, right, we need to have this love for one another. Because that love creates an environment where we can take off our masks and we can be ourselves and we can still be accepted and loved by one another. So, that's a second thing that we want to pack in our bags as we go. But there's a third thing we want to bring. And third, we want to bring truth. And specifically, right, friends, as we desire to be a strong, growing, healthy church family, we want to speak the truth to one another. And that's really what I mean by truth, is we want to speak the truth to one another. Because this is what Paul tells us to do, right? Take a look here at Ephesians 4:25. It says, each of you must do what? Put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. Friends, as members of the family of God, God wants us to be open with one another, honest with one another, and truthful with one another. Now that all sounds really good, right? Yeah, we need to speak the truth to one another. And yet, that's actually very, very hard to do, isn't it? Especially when relationships don't always go as smoothly as we want them to, right? Sometimes, you know, difficulties arrive within the church family. And it's even more difficult to speak truthfully when we maybe need to confront or correct someone's behavior. And for example, if someone in the church family is maybe does something that offends you or hurts you, then it's good and right for you to say something to that person. Right? In a kind way, in a polite way, a gentle way, you can share how you feel about what that person did. And in that way, you're speaking truthfully to the other person. Friends, and that is God's heart. Now, it's really easy for me to say that. Actually, doing that isn't so easy, right? Right? I mean, we don't like to say those kinds of things to people. We don't like to say, you know, you hurt me. And, you know, we don't like to say that, especially in church. So instead of being open and honest and speaking truthfully, what do we usually do? We usually say nothing at all. Right? On the outside, we just pretend like everything's fine. Oh, hi, how are you doing? Good to see you again today. But on the inside, we're angry. We're hurt. There's bitterness. There's resentment. And though we might not say it to the person's face, we'll kind of gossip about them. You know what so-and-so did? And we'll talk to someone else. But friends, that's not God's heart. Right? That's what Paul... That's speaking... That's falsehood. And Paul says to put off falsehood. Right? Instead, we are to speak truthfully about things to one another. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to do. Or another example, let's say that someone in the church is maybe acting in a way that's maybe distracting people from seeking Jesus during worship time. Maybe they're teaching something that's maybe not exactly found in Scripture. Maybe they're causing disunity in the church family. Well, in those cases, we need to speak truthfully to them. Now, obviously, no one likes to bring that kind of correction and rebuke to someone, but you know, sometimes that's necessary for the health of the church. But that's not easy, is it? That's never easy, right? The easy way is just to ignore someone's behavior. And that's often what happens in churches, right? We don't want to hurt someone's feelings. We don't want to offend the person. And so we don't say anything and we just let their behavior continue. And as a result, the whole church suffers. And friends, for this reason, there are times when we need to speak truthfully, speak the truth to one another. It's not easy, but it's important. Now, let me say this. Speaking the truth is a two-way street, right? Yes, we want to speak the truth to others, but we also want other people to speak the truth to us, right? Right. For example, if I say something or do something that hurts someone, I need them to tell me. Or if I do something that's causing disunity in the church, I need them to tell me. Right. If they don't tell me all that, how am I going to know? Right. But we need other people to speak the truth to us. We need to be open to hearing the truth from others. I like Proverbs 12:1. Look at what Proverbs 12:1 says. It says, he who hates correction is stupid. Isn't that great? He who hates correction is stupid. But I don't want to be stupid. Do you want to be stupid? No. You see, but then we need to be open to receiving correction from others. We need to be open. We need to have hearts that are soft, hearts that are open to receive those words of correction by others. We want other people to speak the truth to us. Now, that's never easy, right? It's never easy to have someone speak the truth to you, especially if they're correcting something in you or pointing out something you did wrong or something. And it's never enjoyable, but you know, friends, that is good for us. Right? When people correct us, that's one of the ways that we grow and one of the ways that we mature in our walk with Jesus. And so, in the process, the entire church, it's strengthened and it becomes healthier when we're speaking the truth to one another. So, the question then is this. How do we speak truthfully to one another? Right? How do we do that? Because unfortunately, some Christians speak the truth in a way that's hurtful to others. Have you guys ever experienced that? They'll say something that's true, but they'll say it in a way where they're using it more like a weapon to judge you or to criticize you or to condemn you. Have you ever experienced that? How does that feel? It doesn't feel very good, right? You see, friends, but that's not God's way. Take a look here. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth, how? In love. We will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Friends, how do we speak the truth to one another?
In love.
In love. As we speak truthfully to one another, we want to do so with kindness, with respect, with gentleness, and with a genuine concern for the person that we're speaking to. And friends, when we speak the truth in that way, according to Paul here in Ephesians 4:15, we all grow. And we become more like Jesus Christ. And so as we're packing our bags for the journey, and as we're going to have lots of times to be talking and discussing and sharing, and there's going to be lots of relationship going on, we need to pack truth. Speak truthfully to one another. Not easy, but it's very good for the health and life of a church. Okay, how you doing, Noji? Okay? All right, let's continue on. Halfway done. Number four is this. We also need to pack humility. Humility. Now, personally, I'm really looking forward to this next season at SIBC. Rather than just have two or three people who are doing most of the ministry during the worship service, I'm really excited about having these open meetings. Meetings where everyone participates, where everyone makes a contribution, where everyone uses their gift. I'm looking forward to everyone having the opportunity to talk and to share and to teach and to pray with one another, not just before the service, not just after the service, but during the service. And I think this will really be a help for all of us as we desire to grow and mature. But friends, I got to tell you, there is one danger. I don't know if danger is the right word, but I think there's a danger to these kind of open meetings where we just give anyone a chance to talk and to share and exchange ideas. Sometimes we actually use these times of sharing and discussion to draw attention to ourselves. All right. So sometimes that happens. For example, during Bible study, right, we try to impress people with our great knowledge of the Bible. You know, we're studying Ephesians and we start quoting from Ecclesiastes. Well, Ecclesiastes says this, and you know, we're just trying to draw attention to ourselves. Or sometimes during sharing time, maybe we have 20 minutes for sharing and we take 18 minutes to tell a story about ourselves and at least 2 minutes for everyone else to share. Or maybe sometimes we're having a time of discussion and we try to dominate the conversation or we try to force our opinion on other people so people think like us and act like us. Friends, and in this way, I think sometimes we try to be the center of attention. And maybe you've been in groups where you've had people like that who kind of try to control and kind of try to manipulate the group. And you know that that's never helpful, right? Now, most of the time when we do that, we don't even realize we're doing it. But friends, it does have, I think, often a very negative effect on the group, and it makes it very hard to have fruitful discussion, fruitful sharing. And that's probably why most churches don't have open sharing during their worship services, right? Because you never know what's going to happen. But friends, Paul has a solution to this problem. Paul's solution is humility. And we see this in so many places in Scripture. One example, it's Philippians 2:3. Paul says, do nothing, nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. You see, friends, as we gather together, we want everyone to be an active participant in the worship service. We want everyone to have the opportunity to talk and to share and to teach and to pray. That is the biblical example, and that is the example, the model we want to follow. However, as we do those things, friends, we don't do those to draw attention to ourselves. Right? We're not trying to impress anyone. We're not trying to control anyone. Rather, in humility, we do those things to serve others, to bless others, to benefit others, to build up others. You see, in everything we do, it's not out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. Rather, it's for the good and the benefit of others. That's humility. Actually, Paul says this again in Colossians 3:12. Look at what he says. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with what? With compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And what does, as the people of God, when we gather together, what does Paul tell us to put on, to clothe ourselves with? Humility. And so in this next season, as we have opportunity to talk and share and teach and pray during our times together, let's do so with humility. Rather than just thinking about what we want or what we need, let's also think about the needs and wants of everyone in the group. And friends, if we want this journey to be a good journey, a fruitful journey for the entire family, I think humility is something that we definitely need to pack. All right, moving right along. Number five, there's a fifth item we want to bring with us. This is a good one. Unity. Sometimes there's a misconception about unity. Sometimes we think that unity is when everyone behaves the same and everyone thinks the same and everyone believes the same thing. But friends, that's not unity. That's conformity. There's a difference between unity and conformity. And the Bible never tells us to conform to one another. The Bible never says that we all have to be the same. In fact, just the opposite is true. The Bible says that we're all different, right? Right? The Bible says that we're all different, and the Bible says that's good. You see, Paul says that we're one body. But he also says that each one of us is a different part of the body. Each one of us has a different function. Friends, within the church family, we all have different gifts and different experiences and different talents and different personalities and different passions and different abilities. Friends, we're all different. And that's good. See, so unity doesn't mean we all have to be the same. Rather, unity means that we still accept one another and love one another even though we're all different. Right? Unity means that we don't let our differences divide us. Right? Even when we disagree with someone or have different opinions with someone, unity means that we're still willing to have a relationship with them. It means we're still willing to talk to them. We're still willing to listen to them. We're still willing to pray together with them. And while that's easy to say, again, that's kind of hard to do sometime, right? Because in order to have relationship and unity with people who are different than us, well, we need lots of faith and lots of love and lots of truth and lots of humility, right? So unity isn't easy. And sometimes it requires time and it requires effort. But friends, this is Jesus' heart for the church, right? Jesus prayed that we, the church, would be one. Take a look here at Jesus' prayer for us in John 17. All right, Jesus is praying. He says, may they, and they is us. He's praying for the church. May they be brought to complete unity. To let the whole world know that you, talking to his Father, that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You see, friends, Jesus' prayer was for complete unity. It's not easy. But I think through the grace of God, it is possible. And so as we prepare to go on this journey together, friends, we need to bring unity. Does that make sense? Okay, the last one. The last one is the shortest one. It's the most simple one, but maybe the most important as well. Number six is passion. And specifically, I'm talking about passion for Jesus. Passion for Jesus. Friends, Jesus is the reason, Jesus is the motivation for everything that we do when we gather together. Right? Jesus alone is our passion. Jesus alone is what we are hungry for. And so as we gather together each Sunday, each week, right, we will have Bible study, we'll have fellowship, we'll have worship, we will use our spiritual gifts to serve one another, we'll pray for one another. Those are all good things. But friends, those are not the things we are passionate about. No, our passion must always be for Jesus. Right? Take a look at Hebrews 12:2. I love the way it says this. Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Right? Fixing your eyes on something means you set your eyes on it and you don't look over here and then over there and, oh, this is kind of nice. Oh, look at that. Oh, look. No. Fix our eyes is just we fix our eyes on Jesus. And so, friends, as we gather together, that's what we want to do. We want to fix our eyes firmly on Jesus. We want to have this unquenchable hunger for Jesus. We want to worship Him and love Him and serve Him and seek Him and listen to Him and be filled with His Spirit. Everything we do is about Jesus. He is our head. He is our shepherd. He is our teacher. He is our Lord. He is our servant. He is our Savior. He is our friend. And therefore, He is the reason. He is the motivation. He is the purpose for all that we do when we come together. Friends, we need passion. Passion for Jesus. Amen? So, as we prepare, as God prepares to take us on this wonderful journey, right here, six things that we want to put into our spiritual suitcase. Faith, love, truth, humility, unity, passion. And friends, if we can bring these things with us, if these things become a part of who we are in this next season of SIBC, friends, it'll be a very good journey. And if we can bring these six things with us as we go to Izumiotsu and explore what it means to be the family of God, friends, I think this next season will be a season of much growth and much fruit. And so we want to take time to pray and ask God to give us these six things. So usually at SIBC, after the message, we take time, we give you time just to be quiet and still before the Lord. We encourage you to pray and just to talk to God as the worship team is playing and we have communion. It's a good time just for you to silently come before the Lord and talk to Him and listen to Him and respond to Him. But today we're going to do this a little differently. Right, this morning we actually want to pray together. So in just a moment we are going to ask you to get into small groups of maybe four or five people. Right? And if you want to turn your chairs and make a circle, you can do that. If you just want to like turn your bodies and just kind of turn to the row behind you or in front of you, you can just turn your bodies as well. Whatever is good for you. But in your small groups, we encourage you to take time to pray together. You can pray in whatever language you want to. And even if it's a short prayer, that's okay. But friends, there's two things we want you to pray for. Right? And just listen to these. Right? First of all, we want you to give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for these last 6 years that we've been in this building. And we have a lot to be thankful for. Let's give thanks. And I know some of you haven't been around for all of those 6 years or barely 1 year, but there's still things that we can give thanks for. So let's spend some time giving thanks. But then second, let's ask God to help us grow and mature in these six things. The things we've talked about this morning. And especially, please take time to ask God to increase our passion. I really believe that's kind of the main one. If we can have that passion for Jesus, then it's going to be easier to grow in the other areas as well. So we'll do that. We'll give you about 10, 15 minutes just to pray. When we're done, the worship team will start playing, and then we're just going to close out our worship service with a time of just worshiping Jesus one more time.